Are you bound to a lie, bound to sin, or any bondage? The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For the Layman is a program that will equip you to set the captives free. Here now is Reverend Greg Donation gives you pointers in your search for freedom. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Hi folks, welcome once again to another presentation of our program for the layman. I have with me here in the studio Brother Bons Govender. Welcome to you, Bons.
Thank you, Pastor.
Friends, he's no stranger to us, and he's added some very valuable contributions to our program over the years. This is a time when we equip our lay people for the work of the ministry. We've done things like bondage and deliverance, counseling, preaching, and other subject matter that is relevant for the ministry before. Now we are dealing with discipleship, and we are actually just going back to the ABCs. Thank you for inviting us into your hearts. I would like us to read, as we start this presentation, from Exodus chapter 16. I'll try and be as brief as possible, but if you can get your Bibles and if you have them ready, Exodus chapter 16. We read from verse 13. You know the context. The Israelites were in the desert and they had grumbled. And they said they had no meat, they had nothing to eat. And verse 13 says, that evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Obviously, they've never seen anything like that in their lives before. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs, not as much as he greeds. Take an omer, that would be about 2 liters, I suspect, for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Now that's an important sentence. It says, some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. This was the trial run. It went well. Verse 19. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. In other words, you use it all up. It'll be enough. It'll be adequate. You won't get fat from it. You won't overfill yourself. Verse 20. And that is the point I want to underline. However, you could have just as well said but. However, some of them, these were the Israelites, paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. He said, you mustn't do that. But they did it. That shows you the human heart, doesn't it?
True.
I mean, a simple thing. You're told, don't keep it. But some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So under certain circumstances, the situation can change. Now, when it comes to the important day of rest, God says, now you can collect and keep up. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath of the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. It's as clear as daylight, isn't it?
Clear.
Now watch what happens. Verse 27. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it. Isn't this amazing?
Yeah.
This is the congregation. But they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, and that is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. And so the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Isn't that special? God made it very nice for them. This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. And as the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And then, of course, no more. Now, the reason why I read that passage is because of its strategic importance regarding discipleship. When I read it, you know, I was stunned and amazed. Moses was the leader, and he said to them, just gather for this day. Gather as much as you want, but just for this day, and you must eat it this day. Don't keep it for tomorrow. But there were those who were wise in their own eyes. Those who thought they knew better. Never mind what Moses says. Literally, pardon me for putting it so coarsely, but to hell with you, Moses. You futsal. Because we will do what we want to do. And isn't it amazing when they went on that willful way, whatever they gathered became rotten and it smelled. And guess what? It was then possible for everybody to see that they had been disobedient. They had transgressed. It was then clear. They could catch the smell. Say, oh, okay. So you have shown. The smell tells us that you have violated what God wanted. The rot tells us you have violated what God wanted.
And unfortunately, I use that word, unfortunately, God exposes the darkness.
Yes.
And he brings it to light.
Yes.
And you could see, just by us reading and going on a program called discipleship.
Yes.
And in the word disciple comes the word discipline. And one has to consciously remind itself or herself about what it is to be disciplined.
Yeah.
And we read previously, you got to deny yourselves. And as you said, see the human heart, the fickleness of the human heart. God was providing it. Moses was the leader at that time. But they didn't have the, should I say, where they wanted to take Moses as the leader. There could be some kind of bitterness, jealousy, and he can go on with a list of things. And these things could be hidden. Because if you look at the manna that was supplied, and as we read here, you were given specific instructions. It must not be kept for tomorrow. It must be finished off.
Yes.
But some still kept. And when that kept, not only maggots came. Because, you know, if maggots come, you can still cover it up and get away.
Yeah, but then there was a stench.
Now, when a stench comes, you can now identify from where it's coming.
Yes.
So, in that area there, it speaks volume even to, as I share this with you and we're reading this, it means so much that we need to be careful for these small things that rob us from victory.
Let's take a break. We're back again. We thank the Lord for the lovely music. This reveals to us in this passage that we discussed and what you also shared there, you can cover up the maggots, the rot, you can say. And most people will try to do that. But what you can't cover up is the stench.
Yes.
And the stench will reveal that you are one of those who couldn't follow instructions.
Exactly.
It's amazing how many Christian believers are struggling in this area. It's a cardinal aspect of discipleship, but they can't follow instructions. They want to do it their way.
And you know, often the Lord reminds us through scripture, through a message, and somebody sharing a testimony, and we've got to be reminded. But when emphasis is put onto that point, do not store. Take only as much as you need, not as you want as well, as you need. And very often, you know, we come into an aspect in life. I'm using a daily thing that happens. If somebody is giving you something, you say, you know, I like to take this for somebody else. I like to give for that person. And you contract. But that's not the purpose. Because when God ordained certain things for you, he speaks to you. And if that person is not there, like we receive some blessing time to time when we go to service. And some of them don't get it. And when they meet up over the week, on the Sunday when they come, and we said, hey, we were so blessed, we received certain thing. And this is what you're missing when you don't come to service. That creates an hunger and appetite. Hey, I should be found there as well. So that's the case. Now, this manner that was given, when you look at it, it was given for everybody. But you had to go out at a certain time and pick it up. There was an instruction behind it. You had to follow that instruction carefully. But the human heart, the fickleness of the human heart, that somehow along the enemy have robbed us in that area where we want more. Because you remember, your eyes is seeing this and you want more beyond you can even handle. I know when I first came to the Lord, and I love food. And whenever the bell rang for a meal, and I'll make sure I must be the first one. I must be the first one there, because when you dish the first you're receiving, you receive a good helping. And on one specific day, I was not the first one. And this queue was long. And I'm asking myself, and I'm saying, Lord, you know how I like food, Lord. Lord, please, whatever, I can see there's so many people here. But by the time I get to that pot where they're serving, make sure I get a good meal. Pastor, there was exceedingly abundantly beyond you can even imagine.
Imagine that.
And that's what God can do, because he had to deal with your heart.
Yes.
And thereafter, I never ran for the bell.
Yes.
Never sat there and said, okay, now it's going to be lunchtime. I need to be the first. No. Because God said, I will provide.
Yeah.
I will take care. And he said, I took care of the birds. I took care of this. I took care. So how much more will he take care of me?
So this is actually a feature of human nature.
Exactly.
Here you've got the Israelites. They are a community. In other words, it's a faith-based movement of God. God gives instructions through his servant Moses. This is what you are to do. Clear? There's no issue about it. You can be content. You'll be satisfied. Your needs will be met. You won't go hungry. But some decide to do it differently.
Yes.
Some decide to do it otherwise. Let me give you an example in real life. We know that the Bible guidance regarding when people die is they must be buried. And the Christian church has done that for centuries. But as the tide turned and you saw the Christian witness dimming and paganism becoming dominant, you find now in Christian circles people want to cremate. Now God says the principle is that you are buried. You are buried with Christ, for example, when he speaks about baptism. You're not cremated with Christ in baptism. You are buried with him. So it's very clear that from the roots of the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, something like cremation is utterly pagan. So even in the congregations where people will, maybe pastors or other Christian leaders will share that this is the way we do it as believers. We bury our dead. It's also out of respect for that body created by God. Yeah, we know it's going to go to dust and all that. But the fact is that it's a respect. You don't burn it.
Yeah, but see, often the community use that pastor and says that, why must we waste money on the dead? Cremation is far cheaper.
Yeah.
But remember, we are speaking to a faith-based community.
Yes.
Now, speaking to a faith-based community, we need to say this time and time again. When the person is alive, you look after that person.
Yeah.
You take care of that person.
Yes.
Because the Bible is clear about widows.
Mm.
He speaks to children if you have grandparents, and it's very, very clear how you should be looking after them. So you don't make a hullabaloo at a funeral now and have a big funeral out there to say, no, now I need to show the people how much I love. You know, I was watching one documentary where somebody was informed that the auntie had passed away. And they were the only sibling to that auntie, in the sense of relatives. And when they got the message, they came and said, okay, can I have the death certificate? Immediately. Not what was the cause of the death and went on. Just, can I have the death certificate so I can get my inheritance? And I pondered about it, and I watched it, and again it spoke, and the person was very adamant. I want the death certificate so I can claim my inheritance. And the doctors who were in the process there found that to be not... I don't know how you are related, in a sense that how close you are, but you know, your person passed away, grieve, mourn, to show some kind of that, but nothing, I want the death certificate. So that put a question mark on the doctors.
Mm.
So they said, no, we're just not going to certify this body as dead, in the sense that without a postmortem.
Good.
So they did a postmortem.
Good.
And when they done a postmortem, they found that there was no foul play. There was no foul play in the postmortem, but it was a rare disease that this person had. And during the time, they only met this new person for the first time, and in the two times, there were symptoms. And when the doctor seen the symptoms on the person who was wanting the death certificate, and the deceased here, who died of this, so the doctor went and said, listen, before we issue you the death certificate for you to go and do whatever you need to be done, your symptom shows us, because you complained of this, 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 and that to us, can we just do a checkup for you? And this person said, you know what? I don't think it's necessary. I just need the death certificate. So the doctor said, see, it'll be good for you. Not for us, but for you. And the person said, okay, get it done. Very hesitantly, but just to get this process done. I need the death certificate. I'll get my inheritance and go. And what stood out there was, when they have done that investigation of the treatment, they found that she's also suffering with the same thing that her aunt had died, passed on. And at that time, they had to do an emergency operation with her to get her resolved, to get her back into good health. And in that, after she recovered, she realized it's not about the death certificate. And why I'm sharing this with you, because that's what the Lord uses in the situation.
Yes. Let's take another break.
The great I am will be who I will be. Fortress of defense and savior to me, deliverer of all ages, you are my rock, you are my strength and shepherd to your flock. The great I am will be who I will be, fortress of defense and savior to me, deliverer of all ages, you are my.
We're back again, and what a stirring example that was that you had given there. Mm-hmm. I almost suspected for a moment that maybe somehow she infected that person.
Exactly.
To get that person to die.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good that she came to her senses and realized.
Yeah, but she had to come to her senses faster at that time. She couldn't have come to her senses at any time. And if you look at this, you know, as you read this here, sometimes you may have senior folks in your congregation.
Mm.
And because they're senior, they've got their mind made up.
Yeah.
They do it this way and no other way.
Yeah.
We don't compromise and we don't change.
Yeah.
We don't change, we don't compromise. Yeah. So, and it must be done this way. Mm. But we are living in times now where things have changed.
Yes.
We must not compromise my faith. I will not compromise.
Yes.
Like, for example, I would not go and cremate myself.
Yeah.
Because the Lord expects me to be buried.
Yes.
So in saying that now, so I got to make the necessary things to be done when I die, or tell my family or the will.
Take out the policies that will cover burial.
And these policies are not expensive.
They're not expensive.
So as believers, we need to understand that there are funeral parlors around that takes these policies, that covers you and insist on that policy, burial.
Yes.
And that's the final testimony that you leave behind.
But I sometimes have the impression that the folks who are opting for cremation are not doing it because the burial is too expensive. They're actually doing it for religious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a person who's a believer, and the Bible makes it very clear nobody was ever cremated in biblical history and context, and for many, many generations down the Christian era. And all of a sudden now cremation has become a fad. It's become popular. The reason why it's being done, I believe, is because there are powers of darkness that are working on people's minds.
Mm.
Like here you had the faith community. Instructions were clear. This is how you gather the manna. But then other people decided to keep it for the next day.
Yes.
Even though this was what was supposed to be going. Mm. Now you have congregation members that will hear, we bury people. Mm. That is our testimony as Christians. But then they will go and they will still arrange for cremation.
Exactly. And you know, yeah, it made it so much easier for Moses, as much as he was upset with what was happening. But you know, when God deals with somebody, he brings it right to the full point of discipline. Because you look at here, when he came to this point, as I said, if it was maggots, we can just cover it up and just get rid of it. There's no odor, there's nothing there. I mean, you can dig a hole and bury those maggots. Nobody, you can carry on with your life. Nobody, you know, this is what happened. I can keep it as my secret sin. I did this.
Yeah.
The stench came on. Now that comes for me, it speaks of discipline.
Yes.
When somebody does something wrong, when it's brought to their attention, they go under discipline where God walks in their lives. Discipline is to draw a person closer to God and to win them.
Yes.
Discipline is not to throw people away and chase them. No, discipline is put there so that you win them.
That's correct.
And the stench that I read here now is that God has to say, these are the people that are problematic. These are the ones that have grieved my spirit. So that now Moses, you can now deal with them with the word of God, with certain things to say, maybe a rebuke, and go and say, no, you shouldn't have done this, or why you've done that. But I'm concerned, you know, when you read this, they don't give an age pattern here of the age group. But you generally feel in the community that we're living in, the senior folks have come to an understanding that it must be my way and no other way.
Yeah.
This is my thing. I'm the furniture in this place here.
Yes.
I've been here long standing. You know, I just recently, I never block a guy, but I just parked so that he could come out. It was, if he went and got his driver's license the proper way, he would have come out. There was no big fuss about it. But because you're on my territory, because you're on my place, you are not supposed to park here.
Mm.
But then the Bible says, why not be wronged?
Yes.
Why not you forgive?
Yes.
But now these principles we need to take to heart and ask ourselves now, if an instruction is given by the leader, what do? I got to die to myself.
Yes.
I got to die to myself and I got to say to myself, you know, God has appointed this leader as the overseer. I got to respect him. I got to fear, as I fear the Lord, as the beginning of wisdom, I got to have respect for this person here.
Yes.
Because God has appointed him and God will hold him accountable for his life.
Once our time has run out, but just to underline what you said there, even if such a leader may be biblically in error, there is a certain way how to approach them.
Yes.
You don't write them off. You don't begin a fight with them. You are not, just because that leader is wrong, doesn't mean you are now exempt from being a Christian.
Exactly.
You still have to manifest all the fruits
Christian
of the Spirit when you deal with that. Thanks, folks, that we were able to share these thoughts with you. We look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
And to all the things that have kept you away, that keep you defeated, take